Welcome, everybody, to the Battle of the Brothers, Utah Utes BYU football podcast. We're two brothers, one a true blue BYU Cougars fan, the other a diehard Utah Utes fan, battle it out about BYU Cougars and Utah Utes football. I'm your host, C Double. Let me introduce you to our battling brothers here. Our BYU fanboy is GC. What's up?
Yep, still here cracking.
And our Utes diehard is K-Ray. What's going to crack, K-Ray?
Oh, game for any fuss. Game for any fuss. Finally.
Finally. All right. Let's jump right into the deep end here. So, TC, another rough week for the Cougars. Hate to say it, but you actually called this one. What the heck is going on here? Give us the breakdown.
Well, nothing's going on. That's the problem, is our offense, there is nothing going on. And, man, again, I kind of feel like K-Ray did last week. Like, what's the point of getting into statistics and all that stuff? It's just, I mean, it was just a pathetic performance. When Utah State comes in and these are guys who didn't even get looks at BYU, you know, on the recruiting trail, and we get demolished by them like that, it raises a lot of questions. So first and foremost is the quarterback situation. You know, I've said from fall camp, it should have been Wilson starting against Arizona. And I have seen nothing this year, even the Wisconsin game, where we actually won. I've just seen nothing to change my opinion on that. So kind of the traditional mindset was, well, Tanner's been asked to come in and manage the game, and he didn't turn the ball over. Well, that was kind of true for the first few weeks, and that's he doesn't even have that going for him anymore. The pick six, the fumble, that I'm sure led to another touchdown, but you know, because I don't ever remember Utah State punting, but maybe like one time the entire game. So if he's not even taking care of the ball anymore, and you know, Wilson comes in on that last drive and leads the team down the field and scores. I mean, I think on his one run that was like 27 yards, that was more yards than Tanner had the entire second half versus one play. And just watching a couple other games this weekend, you know, having a dual threat quarterback in college football is like almost a necessity nowadays. And Tanner just doesn't give you that. Wilson gives you a little bit of that. I'm kind of at a loss for words. I don't think I can become any more frustrated, but I probably can find a little more frustration if in Hawaii Tanner trots out in the first quarter. I don't see any rationale to start him anymore. Unless there's some grandiose plan that they don't want to play him more than four games so that they save his redshirt year. But man, at this rate, you know, Satake and company aren't going to be around for that to even matter. So, at some point, I think I was even texting a buddy of mine saying, you know, maybe the best possible thing is for BYU just to get pounded this game so that there's a wake-up call for the coaches that the current system with the current quarterback is just not getting it done and things need to change. And hopefully that they got that message because, man, I've been saying again from fall camp that Tanner's not the guy, and that is ringing true and truer and truer every game.
Yeah. Did not look good. He did not look good. So, K-Ray, what say ye about the Cougars getting spanked by their little brothers up north there?
Boy, I'll tell you what. Utah State is a very good team, and I think they could be the best team in the state of Utah, frankly. They look really good. I disagree with TC in one regard. He said that these are players that BYU overlooked. I think Jordan Love is from California, the quarterback. Darwin Thompson, the running back, who was fantastic all night. He's from Jenks, Oklahoma. The guy that returned interception for a touchdown, their first score, Tipa Galea, and I don't know how to say his name. He's from Texas. I mean, these are not the guys that beat BYU are not the guys that BYU is recruiting. Does that make sense at all? I mean, what Matt Wells has done, who himself was a quarterback at Utah State, originally from South Carolina, what he has done recruiting these players that are overlooked by Power Five programs in their own states is amazing. You think about Chucky Keaton. He got Chucky Keaton. Now he has Jordan Love. He brings in these players that no one else wants, and he turns them into really, really good players. I'm sure there are players on the team that are from Utah that would probably have liked to have played for a bigger school in state, but the people that beat BYU were not from the state of Utah. And I think we got to give Matt Wells and Utah State some credit.
Yeah, I mean, fair point. I mean, BYU does recruit outside the state of Utah. I mean, they get guys from Texas and stuff. I mean, that's a fair point. My point is if you're a recruit and you have BYU and Utah State knocking on your door, I mean, it shouldn't even be a question. I mean, that's ultimately what I'm getting at. I don't know if they actually went and, you know, decided not to recruit the exact guys that, you know, returned a touchdown in this game. My point is BYU has the clout to get better recruits. And the fact that we're getting pounded, you know, by that school tells you that the recruiting job is not getting done at BYU. And fair point that K-Ray makes, you know, Matt Wells is getting it done, and that's showing on the field in the results.
Yeah, definitely is. Yeah, great point about the recruiting. I mean, this is not the Utah State team of years past where, yeah, it's a bunch of local Utah kids that kind of just end up playing there because that's their only chance to play college ball. Yeah, this is a different program. Absolutely true. I mean, I think it's exactly like we talked about last week. Utah State is a high-scoring offense. BYU, not so much. So we said we didn't know where the points were going to come from, and we were right. They didn't come at all. So, I mean, as lowly as that name Utah State is, I mean, the fact is they are a powerful team now. And I think this actually could be a kind of a new era for Utah football. I mean, the state of Utah football, because Utah State's going to be a contender now. I mean, you're going to see rivalries now developing with them. And so it should be fun, actually. I mean, it's fun as a you know, neutral bystander. I mean, as a BYU fan, oh man, it's scary. Because BYU is now on the track to become the Utah state of Utah. So,
yeah, I mean, I think Love is he a sophomore this year? I mean, the quarterback is the bedrock of any football program and of any team, and man, he's going to be around for another 2 years. Yeah. BYU's got to find somebody who can actually move the ball. And man, I really hope it's Wilson. I think it could be Wilson, but the coaches just have to give him a blessed chance.
Yeah.
He was your leading rusher against Utah State.
So be it, man. I mean, if anything, hopefully get through to these coaches because nothing else is.
Was Squally hurt? He had 3 carries for -1 yards. Was he hurt?
Yeah, he's been hurt. I think since Wisconsin. He's been banged up.
He's a little banged up. Yeah. Yeah. Well, when they did put him in, I mean, Wilson, he scored on that first drive. He had the ball, so it's like you can't argue with that. I mean, he just looks so much more comfortable back there. He could get out of the pocket. He could run. He could make plays. He extended plays. Yeah, it's definitely falling on the coach's shoulders at this point. And if they get another beat down in Hawaii this week, oh boy, yeah, it's gonna get ugly in Provo. So K-Ray, you got to be feeling good about the Utes win over Stanford now. So break it down. What happened and why didn't this happen in games past, and why did it happen in this game?
Oh, boy. Wow. First of all, great game. Before I start to feel bad about Washington and Washington State, let me enjoy this one just for a minute. The Utah team that we thought we'd have all year showed up. The offense, I'm speaking particularly about the offense. Tyler Huntley was 17 of 21. He completed 17 out of 21 passes. I mean, he's never done that. It was great to see, including the really kind of the one of the two plays of the game when he hit Samson Nakua for a long touchdown pass, 57-yard touchdown pass, really from 1 foot as he was getting tackled. Just finally some offense. Zach Moss, 160 yards. He averaged 8 yards a carry. Fantastic. And his longest was 35, so it's not like he had one long run to bump up that average. He averaged 8 yards a carry with 20 carries. And that's the Tyler Huntley we always hoped for. That's the Zach Moss we thought we'd see all year. And a couple of receivers made some catches. I thought we talked about Britton Covey the last couple podcasts and how he was used. I thought he was used very well this time around. He had 70 yards receiving on 6 catches. So he wasn't their only person they went to, but they definitely used him enough to utilize his talents and to utilize his speed. Overall, finally a good offensive game from Utah. And I wish the same thing would have happened the last 2 weeks, obviously. The first 4 weeks, I wish it would have happened. This is really the first complete game I think we played as a team, and we had to have it. You lose 2 games in conference, you still have a chance. You lose 3 games, and it's over.
All right, so we're halfway through the season. Let's revisit our playoff predictions. Give us your FBS playoff teams. TC, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I'm still golden on my picks here. I had Ohio State. They're probably going to be favored in every game they play for the rest of the season. I've got Clemson, probably the same thing, favored in every game here on out. I had Notre Dame, which was kind of my surprise pick. Doesn't look too surprising anymore. Again, they're probably going to be favored in every game they play throughout the rest of the regular season, and they don't have a conference championship. And with the Pac-12 not having any undefeated teams, I guess you could have Colorado be a surprise team, but kind of the juggernauts are no longer undefeated, and Oklahoma losing, it kind of opens the door a little bit for them. And then lastly, I had Georgia. So man, if I had to do it all over again, I'd probably go with Alabama. I did not think that Tua was going to come in and be as dominant as he is, but I'll stick with Georgia because that was my original pick. They're still undefeated. I think they've got a tough road ahead of them. I think like their next 4 games are all against ranked teams. Auburn, at LSU, Florida and Kentucky are in there. So, man, it is going to be a gauntlet that they're going to have to run. But I'll stick with my original 4 because they're all still 4 undefeated at this point.
Okay. All right. K-Ray, what do you say?
I had Alabama and Clemson. I'm sticking with both of those. I think they're both in. Clemson had a little bit of a scare against Syracuse, to be truthful. Yeah. But I think they run the table, although Florida State is looking much improved in the last couple of weeks. So I'll stick with Alabama, Clemson. Then I had Washington and Penn State, and I thought Penn State had Ohio State. They had Ohio State, but they couldn't close the deal, and so I have no choice but to think that Ohio State's going to run the table now. They look really good after that scare in Happy Valley. So I'm switching my pick from Penn State to Ohio State, and then I had Washington and I don't see Notre Dame losing at this point. But I mean, it's still early enough in the season. It could certainly happen. But even if it does, there's some teams. West Virginia still undefeated. If Texas runs the table, they're going to jump Washington, I think, just based on strength of schedule. I think two of my picks are out, Washington and Penn State. Both are still in it. Both are in the top 10, 7 and 8 right now. Certainly still in it, and there's a lot of time. But if I had to make my picks over again, I'd pick Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and I hate to say Notre Dame, but I think I'd have to say Notre Dame.
So basically you're just changing all your picks to mine.
Well, the real question is Georgia. They definitely have the toughest schedule. If they win out but then lose to, so say Alabama in the SEC championship game, do they still get in?
If it's close, I think they do. Yeah. If it's close, they do. I say yes if it's close.
Well, it depends. If you have three other undefeated teams, you can't keep an undefeated Notre Dame, you can't keep an undefeated Ohio State, and you cannot keep an undefeated Clemson out of the playoffs. I mean, that would be, by default, a playoff game. The winner of Georgia-Alabama goes, the loser doesn't. Now, that's if all those other teams are undefeated.
I know
we're Sooner fans here, but I was objectively speaking, I was happy to see that UCF is now ranked ahead of Oklahoma. There's nothing worse than a big school losing but staying ranked ahead of the smaller schools. That's a pet peeve.
Good point. So, yep, good point. Yeah. Good point, absolutely. Yep, I think that's the linchpin in it all, Georgia. I think that they're the linchpin. If they win out and whoever wins that game, Georgia, Alabama, that's who gets in. Personally, I don't know. Ohio State, if any teams to be left out, I would wish it would be Ohio State. I mean, clearly it's not going to be, but I'd much rather see Notre Dame get in, clearly, if they went out over Ohio State. Clemson will probably get in. And I would honestly like to see Alabama and Georgia in there. That's who I'd like to see. Get Ohio State out of there. Keep Alabama and Georgia, Clemson, and Notre Dame. That's what I would like to see. Doubt it would happen, but I think that.
All right, let me ask you guys this. I live about 15 minutes from the West Virginia border. My entire block is huge West Virginia fans. Let's say you have West Virginia, you have Notre Dame, you have Clemson, you have Ohio State, and you have either Georgia or Alabama, all go undefeated. Out of those five teams, who gets left out?
That's tough. That is tough. Well, clearly the committee has said that conference championships matter. So if that's the case, Notre Dame gets left out.
I don't think there's any way Notre Dame gets left out. There's no way.
If West Virginia wins their conference championship and stays undefeated, then according to the way they have the pattern they have set up, West Virginia should be in.
Well, I mean, we talked about this last time. This is best case scenario. We have multiple undefeated teams and Oklahoma losing hurt, but Oklahoma losing hurt, but West Virginia is still undefeated. And a couple other undefeated Power Five teams. TC mentioned Colorado, North Carolina State, for some reason, maybe they're legit.
Yeah.
They're undefeated as well.
Yeah. They would have to play Clemson at some point.
And Florida State. So. Yeah.
And Miami. Well, no matter. The one thing I think is fairly clear is that the Pac-12 is likely not getting in this year.
It looks that way. But it's a lot.
And Washington, lot if Washington ran that. The table, and they got some help, maybe.
Yeah. It's not over yet. It's still possible, but. They're bottom of the barrel there. So.
Yeah, they're the low man on the totem pole, that's for sure.
Yep. All right, so looking to next week, K-Ray, you should have an easier week against Arizona. Any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, Friday night game. Finally a game that I think we're fairly comfortable with at home. It's going to be loud. Shouldn't be a problem.
That's it.
Famous
That's
last
the
words.
Analysis. Shouldn't be a problem. Well, you're right. In theory, it should not. But that's how they went into the Northern Illinois game too, and barely squeaked out a win. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. But we did win. We did win. Let me say this. I think Arizona beat Cal on Saturday, which I think was surprising to some.
Yeah.
Especially if you followed BYU football this year, common opponent. A lot of people thought Cal was good, and yeah. Arizona not good. So certainly, anything could happen. It's big boy football, but I think we take it.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this. I said this last week. I think what is K-Ray, Utah's what, 14-point favorite?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, Utah's not going to win by 14 points. I think they win, but I think it's much closer than that. Arizona's actually started to play pretty well. I mean, they beat a ranked team last week. They barely lost to USC, who's got, you know, as talented as any team in the country. Arizona's starting to put some pieces together the last couple of weeks. I don't think it's going to be the cakewalk that many Utes fans think it will be.
I certainly think you could be right. I think we win. I think we win comfortably. We just beat Stanford on the road by 19. I think we beat Arizona pretty good. We'll see.
Okay, so TC, could BYU experience another loss to a pretty high-scoring offense with Hawaii this week?
Oh yeah, I mean they're facing a team that's 6-1. We beat them pretty soundly last season towards the end of the season there, but they have a totally new team. I mean, their offensive scheme seems totally different. They're a spread offense. They sling the ball around. Now, they have had a couple close calls these past couple weeks. They barely beat Wyoming, and I think the week before they had to go to overtime to beat San Jose State. So this could be a game that BYU could actually win, and it actually looked pretty decent on their resume, having beaten a 6-1 team. I mean, I haven't looked at the rankings. I don't know if Hawaii was ranked, but they'd certainly be getting votes if they're not. So they may catch Hawaii at a time when, you know, it would optimize kind of at least the outlook. But, I mean, let's be honest. I'll say this right now, going on record. If Wilson starts, we win.
That could be it right there. That could be it. All right. Well, K-Ray, what's your thoughts on BYU chances against Hawaii?
Oh, boy. I mean, I haven't seen Hawaii play. I think they're supposed to have a really good offense, just like TC said, but they didn't really score against Wyoming. And maybe Wyoming has a great defense. And anytime you have to go to overtime to beat San Jose State, you wonder what you've got. Certainly BYU could win this game. It would not surprise me to see Kalani rally the troops around the standard of the Yale flag and come out and beat Hawaii.
Yeah. Well, I'm fearful it's the same issue against Utah State. I mean, Hawaii put up 59 points against Navy. Their overtime win against San Jose State. I mean, they won by, it was 44-41. So, I mean, they're putting up points. And it seems like they don't have much defense, but BYU doesn't have much offense, so I don't know. This one looks a little scary for as far as matchups go with BYU, but hopefully they can overpower and they got the bigger athletes, the bigger line, so hopefully they can power through and win this one. But should be a fun one to watch, regardless. Anything else you want to throw in for this week?
That's all I got.
Oh, man. Aside from a total dejected outcome from Oklahoma, Texas, what yeah. what a loss.
Yeah. That was bad. That was real bad.
And did you guys hear Stoops just got fired as the defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I saw that. That's big.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling K-Ray right before we did the podcast. I mean, it doesn't seem like Oklahoma's had a really good defense since their championship run in 2000. And that's always been their weakness is defense. They give up huge plays, and you saw that against Texas.
Yep. Well, they're doing something. They're taking action, unlike BYU with their quarterback situation. So we'll see how that pans out. We'll see how that pans out for both teams. All right, that about wraps it up from here. We are out. Catch you on the next episode.
Go you.
All right,
we out.